Exodus 32,
verse 1.
I thought we were going to do a bit today, but I think we can't do too much. So we'll just take verse 1. I want to speak to us this morning by the grace of God and with His help. Message titled, The Making of a Gold Calf. The Making of a Gold Calf. Exodus 32, verse 1. The Making of a Gold Calf. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, we shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The making of a gold calf. We know the rest of the story, and we shall probably be looking at the rest of them maybe in the weeks to come. What prompted these people to want to make a gold calf, to want to make a god for themselves, was because the one who delivered them out of the bondage of Egypt, who brought them to where they were in the wilderness, who had gone into the mountain of God to meet with God, to receive for them, had not yet returned. We know the story. Moses had gone for 40 days. This was about the 40th day, or the 39th day or so. And they just couldn't wait. And yet Moses had gone up there to receive instruction on how to build a tabernacle for God. But because the people could not wait, they resorted to building for themselves a god. Anything that takes the place of God in our lives has become a gold calf. As I looked at this story, I saw the similitude between Moses and the Lord Jesus, between us and the church today, and between Aaron and the leaders in churches today. We keep hearing about the return of the Lord Jesus. Some say he's gone for so long, how come he hasn't returned? And so the people say, what are we doing? Say Jesus delivered us from sin. But where is he? He has left us in this wilderness. He's forsaking us, as a matter of fact, in this wilderness. He's telling us to endure suffering. He's asking us to live right. He's asking us to walk in a manner that is different from the mannerisms and the ways of the people of the world. And yet these people of the world seem to be getting everything. And we don't seem to be getting anything. Pastor, preach us a message of prosperity. Pastor, we need to know how to do business apart from God. We need to learn how to be wiser than the people of the world, using their own methods. Gold calf. Put a finger there. And let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 from verse 1. 2 Peter 3 from verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, and in the water whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Peter is here reminding us, by this second letter that he's written, that the Bible, the old prophets have warned us that there will first be scoffers. If you read 2 Thessalonians, as the first one, it says, that day of the Antichrist is not going to come until there first be a turning away. People are going to fall away from the faith. Because of the testings, because of the temptations, because of the times of waiting, because of the trials and the tribulations. And we are beginning to see today, we are erecting gold calves not just physically, but even in our hearts. There are gold calves being erected. We come to church with a mind to hear one word on something physical rather than on the Lord Jesus. A man of God wrote years ago, 1963, just before he died, and his fear was for the church. He said that the Lord Jesus Christ in the church has become like the Queen of England, who is the ceremonial head. The people in power, the prime ministers, they are the ones who say what they want to do. They merely take their policies to show the Queen, and then they come and dictate what they want to do. When the Queen makes an address, it doesn't make any difference, because it doesn't impact anybody's life. The people whose lives are impacted are the prime ministers. We have turned the Lord Jesus into a ceremonial king. He's just sitting down there. And we have erected golden calves unto ourselves, because we have taken heed to the sound of scoffers. The scoffers are not the people in the world. They are inside the church. They have a role to play, and God has allowed them in the church. The role is to subvert and to convert those who refuse to take heed to the pure, unadulterated word of the Almighty. If we go back to Exodus 32, you will discover one thing here. The Bible says the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron. The church, a group of people gathered by Jesus Christ unto himself. The church is never gathered unto a man. Never ever gathered unto a man. The church is Jesus Christ picking people of different walks of lives, of different races, of different ethnicities, of different cultures, of different backgrounds, of different status, economically, socially, politically, and bringing them to himself. The moment we begin to gather ourselves onto a man, take heed, we're about to erect a gold calf. Because very soon, if that man is not careful, he will not want the crowd to scatter. And so he's going to have to erect a gold calf to satisfy the crowd. Secondly, you will see there, say, and they said unto him, "Up, make us gods, we shall go before us." The moment the man of God begins to listen to people as to what to preach and what not to preach, take heed. The gold calf is already been erected. Many of us, in our places of work, amongst our unbelieving friends, are now being twisted to say what they want to hear, not what they should hear. We are no longer enforcing, as it were, the power that is in the Word of God. The Bible says that it is this Word, the power that is in that Word, that brings salvation to men. Your friends may not like what you are saying, but I guarantee you one thing. A seed would have been sown. And they gave a very good reason. This Jesus, who has ascended into heaven for all these years, where is he? The Bible says they forget that Noah, when building the ark, as he was building the ark, by the building of the ark, he was warning them. He was speaking to them of impending judgment. But they didn't listen. Theologians have said that it would have taken Noah somewhere around 100 years to build the ark. And we know that men lived longer then. And they must have made fun of him. "Every day you are building this ark. Every day you talk of rain. Every day you talk of judgment. But all we see is the goodness around us. So how can you be telling us that judgment is coming?" The Bible says that while they were marrying and giving away in marriage, while they were feasting and celebrating, God spoke to Noah and said, "Noah, enter into the ark. You and your family, the animals in their pairs." And when they entered, the Bible tells us that God shut Noah in. Because I'm sure that when Noah heard their cries, he would have tried to open it. He was a compassionate man to let them in. My brothers, my sisters, it is out of compassion that I tell you today that the word of God can never be broken. On that day of judgment, you will see members of your family that you are afraid of preaching the good news to. See them roasting in fire. I guarantee you, for as much as Lazarus saw that rich man burning in hell, you will see them. Then you will understand that you didn't show compassion enough. Because had you shown compassion enough, you would have brought them out. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Kings 13. That's one reason why many are making gold cows. Because they can't wait any longer for God. They can't wait any longer for God in terms of His return, in terms of His coming. They can't wait any longer for God in terms of His promises into their lives. They've heard Him give them wonderful promises, but they've not seen it come to pass. They see similitudes of those promises in other people's lives. And they are wondering, Lord, why not me? Why them? They fail to realize that we worship God because He is God. We don't worship God because of promises. We don't worship God because of... We worship God because He is God. In 1 Kings chapter 13, chapter 12, please, I'm sorry. 1 Kings chapter 12, I'm so sorry. From verse 25, the kingdom of Israel had been divided into two. Judah was in the one part, and Israel was in the other part. Jeroboam had become the king over Israel, 10 tribes. And God left Rehoboam with just two. Now let's go to verse 25. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim and dwelt therein, and went out from thence and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If these people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of these people turn again unto the Lord, unto their Lord, that is Rehoboam, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold, thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made an house of high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the 8th month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah, and he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel, the 15th day of the 8th month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. Why was this time around he wasn't making one gold calf? Now he was making two. One in the north and one in the south, to make sure that the people don't go to Jerusalem. Let's put it in spiritual perspective. Jerusalem is the place that God has prepared for himself. Between you and I, and we know what the Lord has said, there is no physical Jerusalem as of now. Jerusalem is in our hearts. It's the seat of God, the throne of God in our hearts. But we have devised many means by which to steer people away from spending time with God in their hearts and spending time in the house of God, in quotes. Because Bethel actually means the house of God. The only problem with Bethel is it was the calf that was the symbol. And yet God said in his commandment that, see, that the day I appeared unto you, I did not appear in any form whatsoever. So don't go and make any image unto yourself and say, this is God. Sad that today many worship God only when it is in a hall that is air conditioned. It's sad that today many will only worship God when there are powerful instruments and great voices to lead praise and worship. Even if those voices are living in iniquity. These were the priests. The Bible says the lowest of the people. Lowest in terms of purity. But they were the ones who were leading. Today, if we want to gather people in our churches, we look for the most eloquent speaker. Not the one who is anointed of God, but the one who has eloquence, so that he can gather the people, even if he is going to commit iniquity with the people and amongst the people. It is irrelevant, as long as we can gather the people. Jeroboam's objective was to gather the people to him. But remember what we said about the church. If they gathered people unto who? Christ. If our gathering is not unto Christ, brothers and my sisters, we have unwittingly erected a gold calf. The Bible says concerning Jeroboam's golden calf here that this was how Israel built the foundation of sin. And Israel never came out of the sin of the gold calf. No wonder God was about to wipe out Israel in the wilderness. It was the greatest of sins that men could have committed. And yet, we commit it every day. Every day we erect gold calves. You'll be amazed how subtle these gold calves can be. Matthew 17, from verse 1. Matthew chapter 17, from verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face, and were so afraid. Peter was about to erect 3 gold calves on the mountain. Many of us get excited by manifestations of the Spirit, and we live out the Spirit and begin to build gold calves based on the manifestation. And yet we know that the manifestation of the Spirit is not in only one form. It's in various forms. And so, when we go to a place where there is no manifestation of the Spirit, we refuse to be part of that. Because we say, where there's no physical manifestation, that's what I'm trying to say. Where we can see it physically. As long as Peter could see it, he was willing to erect some gold calves, some tabernacles, onto those 3 people. The reason Jesus Christ had not yet risen at the time. So there was no need to build anything. And Moses and Elijah, they were mere servants. But here he was willing to build and erect gold calves. Many of us have erected gold calves unto men of God in quotes. A man of God, if he truly is a man of God, is meant to direct the people to the Lord Jesus, the resurrected Christ, the risen Lord. Miracles, signs, and wonders are for the unbelievers. The believer doesn't need signs because he already believes. It is the man that does not believe that needs the sign. So where we are busy seeking after signs is a revelation of the state of our heart. In Proverbs chapter 29 verse 18, Proverbs chapter 29 verse 18, the Bible says where there is no revelation, and I want to stretch it, put it in perspective, where there is no revelation of the salvation plan of God, the people cast off restraint. Where there is no understanding of what God is doing concerning bringing men and women unto eternal salvation, the people perish. Where there is no insight, deep spiritual insight, concerning the workings of God to bring men to eternal salvation, the people live as they like. It is because many of us either don't have a revelation of what God is doing, or have lost focus of that revelation, and are beginning to chase after other things. That's why we're erecting gold calves. 2 Kings chapter 18, Hezekiah did the unthinkable one day. 2 Kings 18 verse 4, he removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent, what? That Moses had made. How dare he? How dare he? But look at what he says. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it. And he called it Nehushtan. I mean, if you remember the brazen serpent in the wilderness. The children of Israel rebelled against God. And God, who had protected them from snake bites in the wilderness, removed his hedge of protection. And serpents began to bite them. And they went to Moses and said, we have sinned. Look, we are dying because of this serpent bite. Help us. We have sinned against God. And God said to Moses, make a brazen serpent, like the serpent that's biting these people. Put it on a pole and lift it up so that anywhere in the camp, when a man is beaten and he looks upon that pole, he will be saved. And Moses did that. And as they looked on the pole, they were saved. So Moses stored that brazen serpent to remind the people of how they were saved. Then these people took the brazen serpent when they got into the land of promise and erected a shrine around the brazen serpent. And it was no longer a matter of whether they were bitten by a snake or not. It was now a matter of worship. They went before the brazen serpent every time and offered food and offered wine and offered all kinds of things and bowed to it. When King Hezekiah came on the scene, he went into that place and took the brazen serpent and smashed it to bits. Smashed it completely. Beat it to powder and threw it away. There are many things we have erected that are nehushtans. They're gold cows. Because you got a healing somewhere, that place has become the gold cow for you now. That is now the place to worship. Because you were healed in a place. If that be the case, then the Jordan would have been a place of worship for Naaman forever. Because he must have to go to Jordan, since that was where he was healed. Many of us who have refused to move from the place of salvation. The place of salvation has become for us a gold calf. This morning, brothers and sisters, I want you to remember what the Lord Jesus said when he was preaching in John chapter 3 to Nicodemus. He said, for as Moses lifted up that brazen serpent, and many received salvation from snake bites, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. And as many as look unto him shall be what? Saved. The brazen serpent was a type of what Jesus was coming to do. He is no longer on the cross. When I was a young boy, I went to a Catholic school. And every time you have a need, they will tell you, oh, you go there, we drop it, we throw a coin, we kneel down before the image of Mary. What did we know? We didn't know anything. We were just Pascally young boys. Then we began to read the word of God. And we saw that thing is idolatry. And yet somebody tells me that, oh, I'm a charismatic. I don't know what that means. You're either worshipping God or you're worshipping an idol. There is no gray area. That, brethren, is the truth. It's time, we're going to see it maybe some weeks later, for those of us who claim to be children of God, who claim to know the word of God, to reposition ourselves in Christ and relaunch out with the truth of the word of God. Truth can never be afraid. Truth is always constant. It's truth that we had in 1st century B.C. It's truth that we had in 1st century A.D. It's the same truth in 2000 A.D. The same truth in 2009. Truth has not changed. Just like we had standing believers in the 16th century, we had standing believers in the 1st century A.D. We have had standing believers in the 19th century. We have had standing believers in the 20th century. We can also have standing believers in the 21st century. It's not about eras. It's not about generations. It's about who we are worshipping. The children of Israel missed the point, forgetting that God is God. As a matter of fact, the time came when they were tired of God leading them. And they said to Samuel the prophet, why can't we be like other nations? Let's have a king. Let's erect a gold calf. Why can't we be like other churches? Let's have a structure like the other churches. Is that what God is saying to you? Is that what God is asking you to do? Every man must receive a vision of what God wants him to do. Every man must receive a vision of where God wants him to go. Every man must receive a vision of how God wants him to worship. And it cannot deviate from what is inside the word of God. Today we have erected structures that have stifled everything. Those structures have become gold cows. Bible says, but they, comparing themselves by themselves, are not wise. We look at what is happening somewhere on TBN, we bring it to our own place. Because it's happening on TBN, it must happen in our own place. We look at something that's happening in somebody else's ministry. Oh, I like that thing. So we bring it into this one and say, oh, let's do it this way. Because I like the way it's been done in that place. Each one of us has a responsibility before God to have a direction for our worship of the living God. As I close, I want to challenge us to search deep in our hearts. And I mean really, really deep in our hearts. For adventure, we have erected gold calves. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we need to make our descent. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for the drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. These people had the presence of God. They ate spiritual food. They drank spiritual drink. Verse 5. But with many of them, not with few of them, not with half of them, with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. There are many who have shipwrecked their salvation while in the church, because they can't wait for God, because they have a stirring in their hearts to build for themselves a gold calf, because they want to erect a tabernacle in a particular location where they experienced a manifestation of the Spirit of God. Meanwhile, it doesn't matter even if the Spirit has left. As long as this is where I saw that manifestation, I'm staying there. Verse 6. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Engaging therefore in pagan revelry. Let's be careful. It's good to worship God. No problems about that. But let's not turn our worship into lewdness. Let's not turn our worship into pornography. Let's be careful. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Be careful. Let's be careful. The Bible says if you're burning, marry. Man who is a husband with a husband of one wife, stay there. The woman who is married, stay there. Verse 9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Many believers are tempting God, because God has not begun to strike people like he did of Ananias and Sapphira. The level of falsehood, deception, and lies in the house of God is amazing. It's just amazing how people want to be recognized, how people use their monies to want to buy things in the house of God. 10. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Let's be careful. Don't murmur against God. Don't murmur against God. If what you are believing God for has not yet come, rejoice. As long as God told you he will do it, he will do it. Don't murmur. Don't allow the scripture, hope deferred, make your heart sick, to apply to you. Deferred hope can actually make your heart to rejoice. Because you know that the longer it takes, the greater will be the manifestation of that thing. Keep hope alive and have a heart that is rejoicing always before the Lord. Don't go and erect a gold calf because what you have been believing God for has not yet come. Verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, as a result of all this, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. That verse of scripture has always challenged me, has always chastised me. Because the things we are talking about, they are so subtle. You wouldn't know when you have become a part of the gold calf erectors. It's so subtle. You wouldn't know when you have erected it. So very subtle. Sometimes, it's a matter of priority. Am I studying the Bible first? Am I quickly going to do this thing? It's as subtle as that. You get this done, then you want to get the next done. Then you want to get the next done. Before you know what's happened, the word of God has gone for that day. The same thing the next day. And the third day. And the fourth day. Before you know what's happening, your gold calf is being completed. A time is going to come that all that you need, according to the imagination of your heart, is to go to church. Be amongst the people of God. Hear a message. And it is well. You have erected a gold calf. Verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape
that he may be able to bear it. There is no difficulty, no challenge, no trial, nothing that you are going through that others have not gone through before. The Bible tells us that Elijah was a man of like passion. Elijah was a servant of God, and yet he had no wife. There was a time Elijah was instructed to go and live with a widow, a single brother with a widow who had one little boy as a son. Temptation was near him. There was a time after a great manifestation of what God had done, and Jezebel came after him. He fled for his life. He had fears at some point in time. At a time, Elijah was so steeped in depression, he wanted to commit suicide. He wanted to commit assisted suicide, that God should be the one to assist the suicide. He was a man of like passion. There was a time Elijah also expected that God would always come in a particular manner until God took him into a cave and he saw all the great things that he called manifestations happen, and yet God was not in any one of them until he heard the still small voice, and that was where God was. Have you been living your life based on manifestations? If you are not careful, you are becoming carnal. It's time to get spiritual and understand that faith, that we walk by faith, not by sight. Whatever that trial is, whatever that temptation is, remember, God has made a way of escape for you. Find it! You can only find that way in God. You can't find it outside of God. When they got to the Red Sea, the children of Israel were busy murmuring, were complaining, and as they were doing that, Moses quieted them, gave them God's word and said, "Don't worry, God who brought us out, he's taking us somewhere, he will deliver us." And as Moses turned to God, it was in God. God said, "Why are you crying to me? There's no need to cry to me. Lift up your pole," and the Red Sea parted. And people crossed. After they crossed, they came to another place. They tried to drink water. The water was bitter, and they began to harass Moses, almost wanting to stone him because they were thirsty. Again, Moses turned to God. And God said to him, "Cut a branch from that tree and throw it in." The tree was always there. God did not just begin to erect the tree. Had they turned to God, they also would have been shown the branch. It wasn't Moses' prerogative to find the answers to their problems. It was just because Moses always turned to God. Today, God has removed such Moseses, because the only Moses we are expecting has already come. The Bible says, a prophet like me, that is Moses, will come. And that prophet has already come. His name is Jesus. Those of us who are leaders are but shepherds, under shepherds as it were, directing people to that one prophet. That the same way Moses was able to give solution to Israel, that prophet will give solution to you. It's not a pastor who will give solution to you. The pastor doesn't have it in him. Pastor is a man like you. He also has his own challenges. That he will point you to Christ, and I'm pointing you to Christ today. That by the grace of God, you will receive him in Jesus' name. Amen. Finally, Acts chapter 1, verse 9 and 10 to 11. Acts 9 to 11. Acts chapter 1, rather, verse 9 to 11. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Brethren, this is the word that we must stand on. Is he coming back? The answer is yes. Why? Because God's word says to us, that same Jesus who ascended into heaven shall in like manner do what? Come down. I stand on this word of God. What God has promised me, will it come to pass?
The answer is yes. I stand on that word because God says His promises are yea and amen. God did not need to say a word to you. And since He has said it, He will do it. It says in Numbers, I think Numbers 23 or so, verse 19. God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Has He said, shall He not do it? Has He spoken, will He not make it good? The reason why that scripture is important and you must understand is because God has the power and the ability to bring to pass everything He has said. A man who even desires the best of your interest cannot have the power, does not have the power to keep himself alive to do it. If, for example, I promise you that, my brother, by the time you come for tomorrow's meeting, you will meet with God. I don't even have the power to sustain myself till tomorrow. So if you were banking on me for you to meet with God tomorrow, and you hear that I have passed today, what has happened to your hope is gone. That is what gold calves do. Gold calves can only but dash your hopes. I pray today that we will turn our gaze away from the gold calves and that we will put our gaze on Christ. It is Jesus Christ who came. It is Jesus Christ who suffered for you. It is Jesus Christ who died for your sins. Paul said, Paul didn't die for you. Apollos didn't die for you. Cephas didn't die for you. It is Christ who paid the price. We must always never forget that the essence of our salvation, the reason why we can call ourselves Christians, is because of, first and foremost, what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Every day, in different ways, the call of God unto salvation keeps ringing out. Men and women hear this call of salvation and they speak in their hearts, but I am saved. But I am saved. But I am saved. And I ask the question today, are you really saved? Are you really saved? Because if I'm saved, how come I'm turning to a gold calf for salvation again? If I'm saved, how come I must go to a meeting for deliverance again? If I am saved, how come I need a man of God to lay hands on me to receive assurance of my salvation? This morning, as we are bowing our heads, I invite you to search your hearts, deep in your hearts, and try to answer that question as honestly as you can. Are you saved? And if the answer cannot be a resounding yes, please come to the front so that we can pray together. If it cannot be a resounding yes, come to the front so we can pray together. I'm not talking of because you did one thing wrong. No, no, no. I mean, you cannot be sure that you are saved. The Spirit of God is not bearing witness with you that you are saved. I want to invite you to the cross of Christ. That's where salvation is, at the foot of the cross. You will discover that burdens are lifted. You will discover that weights are removed. You will discover that the things you have been struggling with suddenly leave once that salvation comes. Because that salvation carries with it automatically deliverance. It carries so many things with it. Healing, carries health, carries so many things with it. Come to the foot of the cross this morning. And if for any reason you are backsliding, you have tried to go back to God and you are finding it difficult to return, it's a challenge for you. You can also come to the front of the altar. I will pray with you. We'll break that hold and you can find your way back to the Almighty God. Don't let men deceive you and think that they are the Savior. There is no man that will can save. The Lord Jesus said in that last day, many will come and say, I am Christ. And they don't believe them. Don't believe them. The rest of us, let's speak to God within our hearts today. Say, Father, no more gold calves. If there is anyone that has already been erected inside of my heart, my Father, my God, give me the grace to smash it. Give me the grace to beat it to pulp. Give me the grace to beat it to powder. To beat it until it no longer exists. Talk to the Almighty God today. If for any reason, Lord, because I've waited and waited and waited and waited and waited, I have erected a gold calf of something similar to your promise, looking unto that thing instead of looking unto you. If for any reason, Father, I have thought within my heart deceiving myself, and I've erected a gold calf based on not wanting to be involved in one thing or the other. Father, remove it. I have developed a theology that is not theology at all, just because I believe that, well, I can also have my own form of theology. If for any reason, Father, I have erected a gold calf because of a manifestation somewhere, Almighty and Everlasting God, help me to beat those manifestations into court. Let me realize and understand that it's only Christ, it's only our Lord Jesus Christ, that is my salvation, that He's my God, He's my Lord. He's not just my Savior, that is my Lord. Let's talk to the Lord, let's talk to the Lord, let's talk to the Lord. Let's talk to the Almighty God. Let's talk to the Almighty God. Blessed be your name, Father. Blessed be your name, King of Kings. Blessed be your name, Lord of Lords. Blessed be your name, Almighty and Everlasting God. Oh Lord, my God, help me, help me, help me. Let it not be that after I have preached, I myself be cast away. If I have erected any golden calf in my own heart, Father, for whatever reason, my Father and my God, I pray that you dismantle it, shatter it to bits and pieces, beat it to powder, where it is mixed with sand and never ever to resurface again. Pour it into the river, let it be washed away, never to be seen again, Almighty and Everlasting God. If I have built golden calf on ministry, destroy it in the name of Jesus. If I have built a golden calf around my life, destroy it in the name of Jesus. Whatever I have erected as a golden calf that is competing with you, my priorities cannot be you first, Almighty and Everlasting God. Whatever is competing with you in my heart, pull it down. Destroy it completely, Heavenly Father. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name, Lord. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
I want us to stand to our feet. Two scriptures come to mind concerning what we want to do now. And I want us to pray like never before. Hezekiah grabbed the Nehushtan and destroyed it because people were worshipping it. God sent a prophet to Jeroboam in 1 Kings chapter 13 to prophesy against the altar that Jeroboam had erected. And he did. And eventually, the young king that God has spoken about came and destroyed that altar. Brethren, today we are going to pray against every altar and every Nehushtan that has been erected wherever, and that is becoming a snare unto the children of God. We say, Father, send forth that rock,
send forth that rock
that was removed without hands,
to smash that idol
and break it to pieces.
Break
it. Go ahead and begin to pray, brethren. Every altar,
every altar
that has been erected anywhere in the world that is becoming a snare to the children, your own children, my Father and my God, Almighty and Everlasting God, cause the Lord Jesus, that rock that was hewn with that hand, to smash it, to smash it to bits, to smash it to bits, to smash it to bits. Every altar that has been erected, that is a snare to the children of God, wherever those altars may be, Father, shatter those altars, smash 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 those altars. Smash those altars. Massacre Tayari Kekeke. Smash those altars. Every altar of idolatry. Every altar of fornication. Every altar of prosperity without power. Every altar of deception. Father, destroy in the name of Jesus. 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 Masakatayare keke. Rokondore keke keke. Makotore keke keke. Rakatayare keke keke. Makotore kabragandale keke keke. Rokotore keke keke. Masakatayare keke. Randale keke keke. Masokotore kabragandale keke. In Jesus' name.
The
Bible says that if God does not shorten those days, even the very elect will be deceived. Brethren, that's a very, very profound statement coming from the Almighty Himself. We are going to pray a prayer now. It's for us, it's for others, and those who are yet to be believers, that when they come, say, Father, make a distinction. Between your own and the others. Go ahead and begin to talk to God right now. Let there be a distinction. Let there be a distinction. Let there be a clear distinction. A clear distinction. Let the very elect be deceived. Let the very elect be deceived. Let there be a distinction. A clear distinction. Between your own and the others. As many of your own as you have chosen, let there be a distinction. A clear distinction. A clear distinction. Masaka kaya rekekekekeke. Rogondo lika makoto rekekeke. Rasa kanda ya rekekekeke. Rokoto lika makondo rekekekeke. Braka kaka 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 kaka. Yekete reke rogondo lekekekeke. Yekete reke makanda rika kaka rokoto leke. Masaka kaya rekekekeke. Braka talika makondo rekekekeke. Braka kaya rekekekekekekekeke. Rokondo rekekekekekekekeke. Braka kaya rekekekekekekekeke. Masa kanda ya rekekekekeke. Rokondo rekekekekekekeke. Masa kata ya rekekeke. Rogodo rekekekekekeke. Maso kondo rekekeke. Masa kaya rekekekeke. Makoto rekekekekeke. In Jesus' name we are praying. I will praise you from everlasting, everlasting. Oh, we will praise you. Oh, everlasting. Abba, Father, we will praise you. Hey, everlasting. Oh, we will praise you. King of glory. God of all flesh, we will praise you. Hallelujah. Take that song as a prayer. Say, Father, from everlasting to everlasting, I will praise you. No matter what happens to me, I will worship you. Regardless of my circumstance, you are the one I will praise. I will worship you. I will praise you. All the days of my life, I will praise you. From everlasting to everlasting, from everlasting to everlasting, I will praise you. Regardless of what I'm going through, I will praise you.
regardless of challenges, I will worship you. Regardless of how it may be, I will magnify you. I will keep praising 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 you. Master Kataya Rekeke. Go, 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 go. I will praise you. Even if I don't have money, I will praise you. I will praise you. Even if I'm not well, I will praise you. I will praise you. Even when I'm hungry, I will praise you. I will praise you. Even when your promises are yet to come to pass, I will praise you. I will keep on praising you. I will keep on praising you. I will keep on praising you. Even if they demote me, I will keep on praising you. I will keep on praising you. Regardless of what may happen, I will keep praising you. 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 Blessed be your name. I will keep praising you. 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 Master Koto Rekeke. Robo Do Rekeke. Ratatatatatatatatat. Rekete Leke Matatanya Rekeke. Robo Do Rekeke. Master Koto Rekeke. Robo Do Rekeke. Robo Do Rekeke. Robo Do Rekeke. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we are praying.
Amen.
In a kerive, O ye kage, Abano eze, Imo. And all the miracles you've done have brought us joy. For we are changed, and all the hope we have, we place in you right now. Father, we declare that we love you. We declare everlasting love for Jesus, we declare. King of kings and Lord of lords, we just bless your name. There is no one like unto you. No one compares with you. Father, thank you for your word. You have challenged us today. You have chastised us today. Father, we are craving that change. That by reason of your spoken word this morning and the influence of your spirit upon our hearts today, we will radically be transformed. Every gold calf that we have hitherto erected be smashed in Jesus' name. We pray, Almighty and everlasting God, that wherever gold calves have been erected anywhere in the world that is enticing and deceiving your children, the very elect, Father, smash them in Jesus' name. Smash them in Jesus' name. Smash them in Jesus' name. King of kings and Lord of lords, together with your children here this morning, we declare that we'll praise you forever and ever.
Amen.
In sickness, we'll praise you.
Amen.
In poverty, we'll praise you.
Amen.
In times of difficulty, we'll praise you.
Amen.
Even when the devil seems to be fighting tooth and nail, we'll continue to praise you.
Yeah.
Because it is in you that we live. It is in you that we move. It is in you that we have our being. It is in you that we find solution. It is in you that we are removed from these things. It is in you that we enjoy your mercy. Thank you, everlasting Father. Blessed be your name, Lord. In Jesus' name we are praying. Let the people of God say better amen.